Now, if you were watching the markets, today was not a good day. After S&P downgraded the U.S. debt rating to a AA+ on Friday night, concerns over how the market would react had to be dragged out through the weekend. Everybody anxiously waiting for Monday morning. And today, we saw those results. Stocks sank, the Dow closed below 600 points, but U.S. Treasuries didn't do so bad. But Moody's, who has so far stood by its decision to not downgrade the U.S. debt, said that if the partisan gridlock in Washington does not stop, it might change its mind in the future. But that's exactly what we saw over the weekend, was more partisan finger-pointing as to who should ultimately be blamed for this downgrade. And speaking today, President Obama tried to regain an optimistic tone.
No matter what some agency may say, we've always been and always will be a AAA country.
So is Obama right? Or is it a little too late to justify patting ourselves on the back for being America? $14 trillion in debt and all. Here to discuss this is Anthony Randazzo, Director of Economic Research for the Reason Foundation. Anthony, thanks for being here tonight. So let's look at what happened. Obviously, the Dow closed below 600 points, 634 points, I believe. And everybody was expecting this, right? Most people thought...
It lost that many
points. It lost that much, sorry, yeah. And a lot of people were expecting bad news. They thought that they might react negatively today. But then... U.S. Treasuries didn't really do all that bad. So how do you describe that?
Actually, the Treasuries fell today, which meant that there was more demand for U.S. debt coming out of this. And I think what that probably speaks to is investors are the ultimate arbiters of what the credit rating of the United States is. You can have these ratings agencies say all they want. We should probably be criticizing them and taking everything they say with a grain of salt because of their failures during the housing bubble crisis. So. One rating agency says, look, we have problems with the political system and we're going to downgrade. But then the investors come along and they say, well, we're freaking out because of the economy, so we're going to dump our stocks. But we think that the United States is going to pay back its debt in 10 and 20 and 30 years. And so people buy in and that pushes down yields.
But is it because investors don't really have that many other options of where to go right now, especially if we look over at Europe? The crisis there is what is propelling a lot of this uncertainty. And people are looking at Italy and they're looking at Greece. And so it's kind of like choosing between, you know, two bad apples, and I don't know, do you have to go to whatever is the better of the two bad choices?
Well, we have some severe problems with global markets right now. Even if we hadn't been downgraded on Friday night, markets were already trending down. Massive losses last Thursday. The only reason there was a slight uptick on Friday was because we had a better than expected jobs report, but it was still a really crappy jobs report. So we have all these negative economic indicators. We might have lost probably not this much if we hadn't been downgraded, but there probably would have been losses in the market today anyway. You can't go to Europe. Market from Tel Aviv to the Asian markets, everything started to lose value starting last night for them Monday. There's not a lot of places to put money, and people believe that the United States government is going to be willing to pay its debt. Now, that being said, that doesn't necessarily mean that S&P is wrong. And actually, you might even call this the Alona downgrade, because they're saying everything that you've been saying on the show for a long time. It's that the political system is broken. We don't think that people are going to be on Capitol Hill to the White House, back and forth. They're not going to be able to come together to broker a deal to responsibly deal with our fiscal problems.
Now, I'm with you there, right? Even though, even if S&P is right, and even if Moody's is pointing fingers at politicians, and tell me if you saw it the same way I did, which is that they're saying if you can't stop the partisan bickering, then you're not going to get anywhere, you're not going to solve your deficit crisis, your debt crisis, and then we just saw over the weekend everybody going on the airwaves, everybody going on TV saying it was the Tea Party, or no, it was Obama, and it was this guy, and it was that guy. They just proved all the rating agencies right.
Supremely ironic, absolutely. What changed between last Monday and last Friday for S&P to downgrade? Nothing except for the signing of the debt ceiling deal, and S&P decided that they were going to wait to see what happened. They've been saying all along that, look, we might downgrade even if you guys do put together a deal if it's not big enough. They waited. A deal got put together. They sat on it for a couple of days. They thought it through. They waited for the to announce this after the markets closed on Friday, so the markets would have the entire weekend to kind of digest it and whatnot. And they said, look, this deal is way too small. We think that the political system is broken. And then the political system, on all the Sunday talk shows, proved once again that it's broken. And the thing is, both political sides, they're right and they're both wrong. You know, the White House is right. The GOP is ridiculous in not considering any sort of revenue increases. Those revenue increases don't even have to be tax hikes. We can bring in revenues without raising taxes, but the Tea Party is opposed to that. The White House deserves a lot of blame for this too. They could have months ago, they could have way back when we started talking about this in February, March, April, May, they could have said, no matter what happens, we have the revenue to pay our debt. We have $200 billion coming in. We've got $90 billion going out each month as we're paying off our debt. No matter what happens, we're prioritizing to pay our debt. But they didn't say that because that would have given the political advantage to the GOP. So they decided to play politics with the debt ceiling too. So the White House has a lot of blame. The Tea Party has a lot of blame. Everybody's at fault here.
I'm with you. Everybody here is at fault. But so what you're saying is, you say, right, that ultimately the U.S. is going to be able to pay its debts, yeah, or that we will pay our debts. And Alan Greenspan actually happened to be on TV this weekend, and he kind of said the same thing. He said that the idea of a default is ridiculous, and take a look at why.
The United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that. So there is zero probability of default.
Ay, ay, ay. Isn't that the problem? Why do we think that we can just always print more money and everything is going to magically disappear and all of our problems will vanish? That this is part of the problem, is that we can't just keep printing more money out of thin air.
Yeah, well, he's talking about monetizing the debt. And the fact is, we've already been doing it. So we've been so the Federal Reserve, that's what quantitative easing 2 really was. It was the Federal Reserve buying U.S. debt, pushing down borrowing rates so it doesn't cost us as much to borrow. We're able to pay our debts. We're just printing cash. Inflation's going up, so it's cheaper to pay everybody's debt. And what Greenspan is saying is exactly right. That's what the Bernanke Fed would do. That's probably what any Federal Reserve at this point is going to do.
What would the Anthony Randazzo Fed do? Well, I'm assuming you probably wouldn't want there to, maybe there shouldn't even be a Fed, according to Anthony Randazzo, but what would you do?
It's politically infeasible to get rid of the Federal Reserve. Yeah, let's have a Federal Reserve. I would tighten the screws right now. I think we need to start paring back the quantitative easing programs. The Federal Reserve balance sheet is up to $2.8 trillion. We need to start slowly selling that off. We're not dumping it over in a single day. But inflation concerns are real. That doesn't mean that we're backing out of this immediately, but we need to start the process of exiting. And we need to actually let this contraction that the economy is in run its course, because all we've been doing is dragging out this massive great contraction.
Do you think that we should have just let it crash? Do you think we shouldn't have bailed anybody out in 2008? You know, because there are a lot of people that right now will say that we just need to take our medicine, let the masses starve and suffer just so we can wipe the slate clean and start over. But would we have been better off if we did it then rather than now?
Obviously, it's impossible to know, but that's what I mean, I wrote it in 2008, wrote it in 2009. Let's take the pain early on. We're going to get it over with. No one's going to starve. But we saw with Lehman Brothers. Lehman Brothers went bankrupt, and the system worked. It worked poorly, which meant that we have to go back and we have to design better rules, better bankruptcy rules. But Lehman Brothers went through a bankruptcy process. It was sold off. It would have been difficult to do with a lot of banks, but people would not have been starving in the streets. It would have been really painful at the end of 2008. It would have been really painful in 2009. But now, towards the end or the middle, towards the end of 2011, we would have been coming out of this, and we wouldn't have been dragged through a really crappy economy for years. And we're going to be on our way to an even more painful situation.
Did you hear that Freddie Mac is asking for another bailout?
Well, they are going to be bailed out no matter what their problems are. The Treasury Department has said unlimited bailouts to Freddie Mac and to Fannie Mae. It's now over $160 billion. That's the largest bailout of any of the individual bailouts that the U.S. government has given, Federal Reserve aside, collectively to Fannie and Freddie, and Congress has done nothing with them. We've had ownership of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac since 2008, since tacit ownership within the government, and we haven't done anything. There have been plans that have been introduced in the House of Representatives, even in the Senate, but the Republican leadership in the House refuses to take this on. They want to go after Obamacare, wasting their times. They want to drag out this debt ceiling fight, and the Democrats have shown no leadership on that issue either.
Well, yeah, that definitely doesn't sound like we are learning any lessons here, does it? Now, I want to ask you one more thing, too. Like you said, that obviously investors were still going to the U.S. dollar right now. But what could happen next in terms of this downgrade? Does that mean that U.S. banks are going to start having their credit rating downgraded? Then does S&P, in order to keep their credibility, have to start taking a look at other countries and the ratings they give them? Some people have signaled that France might be next. Maybe they're due for a downgrade. That means French banks have to be downgraded, too. And then it really will start kind of kind of compounding.
Well, there are trickle-down effects. I mean, there already have been it's not just the U.S. federal government, it's the federal home loan banks, it's pretty much every agency connected to the United States government that has a credit rating gets downgraded. It's insurance companies, TIA, CREF, Berkshire Hathaway even put on negative watch. So there's going to be a trickle-down effect. There's even talk of the states being downgraded. Obviously, Spain and Italy are struggling right now. Italy is actually going for a balanced budget amendment, so they may get by, but it may get to the point where Spain just has to get downgraded and they can't continue to fight on. It's actually really unknown. I think what's going to be the telling sign is over the next 3 days, we have larger treasury note and treasury bond sales for 10 and 20 and 30 year sales over the next couple of days. And how well those do, not what the prices are, but how much demand there are for those, I think is going to tell us a lot about what the investors think about Standard & Poor's rating. And if investors are not running really, if today is an anomaly and they aren't running into those and they're running away from U.S. debt, that it's investors signaling that, hey, maybe Standard & Poor's is right, the political system is broken, and that could have extreme negative transfer effects.
Well, Obama says that nothing matters, right? Only that he believes that the U.S. is going to be a triple-rated country. It doesn't matter what any agency might say. That's just where we are, which is who says something, and it makes people nervous, but it doesn't really mean anything.
We're a triple banana agency. You can call whatever
country you want. I say we create some new ratings
Absolutely.
Agencies. All right, Anthony, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure.